show is back. Nick Wilson on Afternoon Drive. We got Mac Robinson on the board. We got Sweet Young Thang, Jax Gregory behind the glass. We got Big Weech, Jake Volnick on the 2020s. But it's already been, I mean, it's only 2 o'clock, and it's been a day in Cleveland sports. We get the Cavs back tonight. Braun and Bronny, did you think it was plastic and meant nothing, or did you love every second of it? The world is split, and the Guardians still aren't in the playoffs anymore. But the big news of the day, Kevin Stefanski says, you know what? In the interest of winning, Ken Dorsey now calls the plays. Don't know why it took to get to 1-6 to get here, but here we is. And across from me, the man of Cleveland Magazine, 92.3thefan.com. Bald and beautiful. It's Danny Cunningham.
Thank What's up, buddy? You. How are you, dude?
I don't know what happened with my voice there.
I don't know either. But, I didn't do that. You did that yourself.
I kind of went Howard Dean-ish there.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah. No. So yeah. I think that...
You did do that.
If we just kind of summed up where we are in Cleveland sports, I think a good Howard Dean, what in the blue hell sound was that, is where I'm at. But personally, I'm great.
Well, I'm glad to hear both those things. I'm glad to hear you're there with Cleveland sports. I'm glad to hear you are there in your personal life.
How about
Very
you?
Happy for
How are you.
You
doing?
I'm busy, man. I'm good. I'm glad to be back. I feel like it's been forever since I've been in with you, so I'm super excited to be here today.
Yeah, we're in the part of the season, and the Browns being awful informs this. The Guardians getting kicked out of the playoffs informs this. Now basketball being back, we're just in this weird moment in sports where, like, I just don't know my head from my ass on any given day. It just feels as if we are hurtling through space at a billion miles an hour with no real direction or no real anything. And here's the thing. Some of that is the football is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this is just this, and some of this is the state of the like mental health of Cleveland sports at large because of the weight of the Deshaun thing. And like I don't want to say good thing because Deshaun got injured, but a positive thing to come out of a bad thing is the fact that now the steam is escaping, right? If Sunday was sticking the pin in the cushion or in the balloon, the last 3 days, each in their own specific ways, have been just that air blasting out of the balloon. And so what's funny is day one, rage.
Right.
Just forget you for putting us through this. This has been a wasteful 3 years. You've wasted 3 years of my favorite football players' lives. It's the everything. It was a bleep you on the whole every fan cheered thing. Or
right.
And then yesterday it was like, we're right where we want to be because we have an answer on Deshaun. Like, it's not the answer you wanted, but there is some sort of definitive thing, and now you can just start doing things like we used to do, which is have hope that you can pick a direction with the Browns. And then today, the Stefanski thing is just, I guess they're the same old Browns. Like, every day is in a different emotion. It's like Inside Out 3.
Yes, it feels like December and Berea showed up this week. Like, the Browns became the old Browns again. I don't know if it was Sunday or if it was Monday when the team and the players and the fans were all mad at each other. I don't know if it's today, but in a weird way, and I hate to say this, it feels like we're home. In a weird way, it feels like we are home this week as Browns fans with the thing we are most used to, and that thing, Nick Wilson, is dysfunction.
I will say, chaos is what we are used to. If you grew up in the 90s with or 80s or 90s with parents, with children parenting children, there's some chaos that you got used to. I love the idea of this is home because this is
where we
know. I
mean, I don't, but
know.
It's the reality.
Yeah.
Well, I love that idea, but no, it's the truth.
So I don't love the idea, but I love the description of the idea. And the reality is, like, there's so many different things with this. I think the idea that it took to get to 1-6 and Deshaun Watson to blow out his Achilles to finally turn play calling over to the guy who you hired to make an offense for Deshaun. Surface level, that does not look like it makes a lick of sense that at any point you could have pulled that ripcord and you waited until Deshaun Watson was out for the rest of the season.
You did that, but I also, the thing here is that I don't know, and we're not going to ever have an answer to this, and it's going to drive me crazy. I don't know how much of an effect it's going to have, because now you're going to be looking, you're going to be watching Ken Dorsey call plays for something that looks entirely different because the quarterback is different. Like, I expect this offense to look so much better this Sunday. I don't know that Ken Dorsey's going to have how much impact at all, because I think Deshaun Watson was not willing to take shots that were like 15 yards down the field. Jameis Winston has a lot of faults as a quarterback, but the one thing you can count on Jameis Winston to do is he's going to sling it. And you couldn't count on Deshaun Watson to do that. They're going to look better, and I don't know that it's going to have anything to do with the play calling change.
So can I say that real quick? I don't know they're going to look better, meaning all of a sudden they're going to score 30 points a game.
No, but they can't look worse.
Well, okay, but I think it might be more fun to watch. And
100%. It will 100% be more fun to watch.
Some of that is really no fault of Deshaun. Every throw with Deshaun was weighted to a ridiculous degree. Meaning, even a good play, if it wasn't a great play, you couldn't give credit for because of the pressure of every single play with Deshaun. So there is a pressure-free aspect here. We're not doing the house money thing because that, no, you're bankrupt. There's no house money.
Yes, the money, like, is gone.
This thing is hurtling towards a black hole. It's not hurtling towards sunshine, kittens, and rainbows. But, like, the one thing I will say is what makes this game on Sunday watchable, again, is that all of a sudden, hey, there's no real pressure. If Jameis goes out there and throws for 300 yards, but he throws for five interceptions and they lose by two touchdowns, you'll go, hey, how about those 300 yards?
Yeah, kind of fun, right? I mean, I think a lot of this is going to look like a, because I don't think the team is as good. I think some of this is going to look like a losing version of Joe Flacco. I think that there are a lot of similarities that Jameis and Joe Flacco share as quarterbacks. I don't think the Browns are as good this year as they were last year. Very clearly, the 1-6 record tells me that. But I think the games are going to kind of look like they did last year. They're going to be fun. Jameis is going to make a couple of really dumb mistakes every week. You can count on Jameis Winston to do that. He's also going to connect on some bombs every week because that's who Jameis Winston is. It's going to be fun, but I don't know that this is something that's going to lead to a lot of wins for this Browns team.
So it's interesting we're having this conversation about the changing of guard of play calling with Ken Dorsey taking over, because if, okay, so many of these things are if statements, right? Why did this happen now? You know, what's the goal of this? Kevin Stefanski's lot in all of this. Kevin Stefanski is CEO versus Kevin is a play caller. But here's the thing. If this was done, if okay, because they're not going to tell you, and even if they do, they're going to put some PR spin on it that has no grounding in reality. This organization is lost right now. There's no adults in the room, ironically, and this is probably going to get worse in some fashion before it gets better. I think that's just the point blank reality of where we are. It might look different. It might be more fun because just by virtue of subtracting Deshaun from the equation, I think it gets more fun.
Yes.
For a lot of fans out there. But specific to this idea about why Kevin Stefanski is no longer the play caller, the one thing could be, the thing that I have had the biggest problem with this year is the lack of professionalism on offense. And I'm talking about eons and eons and endless amounts of stupid penalties. And I don't know that the blocking concepts are magically going to get better. I don't know that all of a sudden they're going to find a give a damn. I think that's busted. But do I think that Kevin Stefanski giving up play calling, if it was his decision, or even if it wasn't, do I think it could be, hey, if we don't wrinkle out some of the basic, we're talking like high school level mistakes that are made,
right?
You won't be here in December, let alone be here in August, like, or in October. Like, we've talked about losing the locker room. This is what it looks like, and this could be a hypothetically, well, Kevin, a CEO, you got to figure this out before we can talk about Kevin, the play caller.
Yeah, that could be what this is about. I don't know. I don't know who made this decision. Like, Kevin said that this was fully his. I don't know that I entirely believe that. I don't know why I should believe that. I don't know that this is going to look much different. The thing that you brought up with the just countless amount of stupid penalties, and it's not like, you know, aggressive penalties where there's a holding call here or there. It's lining up offsides or lining up in the wrong position, illegal formation, illegal shifts, stuff like that. That drives me nuts to watch. And that is the thing I really hope gets cleaned up, but I don't know that changing play callers cleans that up.
Yeah.
And I do think there is something to losing the locker room. And I don't know if that's on coaching. I don't know if that's on quarterback play. But what I do know about that is when you have a team that is as veteran as this Browns team is, like, this is not a young football team we're talking about. This is an old football team we're talking about that had very high expectations. When things go as poorly as they have gone, it's really difficult to keep that locker room intact because those guys, they start thinking about what's next for them. Because when you're young, you can still be sold the vision of the future in a certain spot. You can't sell, I think, a lot of the veterans in that locker room about what next year could be in Cleveland, because a lot of them probably won't be here.
Yeah, I think it's so funny. Like, I do think the Browns are a bad offense in a big part because Deshaun just didn't have it.
Yeah, he stunk.
And I mean, just a stunk probably doesn't even cut the mustard.
That's being nice.
On how bad it was. But that's like teams in the NFL who can't complete like 11-yard passes have more success than what the Browns do. Like, it is impossible to quantify how bad this offense has been. And that is where it becomes more. Like, when we're talking about procedure in alignment, when we're talking about the run game, when we talk about all the little things beyond the you don't pass the ball down the field, all those things aren't about Deshaun. And that's what has been scariest about this. And in a way, Deshaun has been a Band-Aid. For Browns fans, it's just been blame that guy because he hasn't lived up to his contract and we don't like him and we've never embraced him. He's never embraced us. Screw that. Well, you got 10 games now that you might want to go ahead and prove that you remember how to look like a functional offense, because that is not even a bar I'm willing to negotiate on. Like, hey, we were scoring with like the Pittsburgh thing. We're going to score 21 points a game or 17 points a game. Okay, how do we get better? When I can't trust you to function, I mean, we're talking about more than just, hey, let's go ahead and tinker with a couple things. That is, give me an axe because I'm going to chop this whole damn thing down.
I think that the Deshaun as a Band-Aid or a scapegoat, really, for all of this, and I guess Kevin is being made into a scapegoat too for this by giving up play calling, but I think that's an interesting point to bring up because you're right that he's not the entire problem. But I do think that when the quarterback struggles or is as bad as Deshaun Watson has been this year, all those other things, and I'm not talking about lining up properly. That is independent of your quarterback play. I could play quarterback for the Browns and they should still know how to line up correctly.
We've been saying that for a while now.
Like, yes, exactly. But when you bring up the running game and not being able to complete an 11-yard pass, like, I think those things are connected, because if Deshaun Watson were better, while their offensive line is not going to be confused with anyone that's great ever, because they're just not as talented. They've been beat up. I don't know that the offensive line coaching has been as good as it has been in years past, but running the football comes a little bit easier to you when you're not a one-dimensional football team, the way that defenses have very easily been able to make the Browns, because your quarterback for the first 7 games of the year is throwing like 8-yard passes at most. And I think that's a really difficult way to live as an offense. And that's even before talking about not being able to line up properly.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys. At Nick Wilson says, Danny, what's your Twitter handle again? Twitter handle is something I call
it. Yeah, there you go. Real D Cunningham.
All right. And make sure to follow the Real D at Real D Cunningham on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So Kevin Stefanski has handed over play calling to Ken Dorsey. And the reality is, it makes no sense to do it today. Let's just be real point blank here. Now, we can say things like, well, now you get a chance to evaluate Ken Dorsey. I don't know that that's necessary. Like, and I continue to hear things like, well, you got to find out what you have in DTR. That's a losing team mentality. He was a 5th-round pick. But like, this is it, you have to find out what you have in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd round picks. You don't really have to do that with fifth round picks.
But Nick, this is a losing team. Well, of course that's the mentality. So, they're 1-6.
Well, but there's losing teams and then there's losing organizations. And what the last 4 years were supposed to mean is that the losing organization was no longer that dysfunction.
Okay, that's fair.
So 7 weeks in, after Deshaun blows out his Achilles, because the order of operations is still wild to me here. Deshaun blows out his Achilles, and then, and only then, do you go, let's say we have Ken Dorsey. So whether Kevin made the decision or somebody made the decision for him, that speaks to me of head-up assness. And that is the worst thing. Like, on one hand, you can sell me, well, you know, maybe Jameis, because he's going to go out there, he's going to throw bombs, maybe that takes the pressure off the run game, because you just need one domino to fall. Like, somebody's got to take pressure off of somebody so that something good might possibly grow. When everything's dead, nothing can grow.
Competence is achievable.
Yes. Or I'd like competence because I was going to go farther than that. Competence is all I'm asking for.
It's achievable.
But at the same point, this just is so same old Cleveland Browns. And it almost doesn't make, so it does matter whose decision it is, but it almost doesn't. Because I didn't know Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, Paul DePodesta. I didn't know we could go this low with these guys. And that's what I think has a lot of people, myself included, with eyes open today of, oh, it's even worse than we thought. Like, that's wild to be there. When 7 weeks ago, the conversation was, all right, how do you make the playoffs? And, you know, how good does Deshaun have to be to make a Super Bowl run?
Is the divisional round enough? That's what it was before the season. Like, this was AFC championship or bust, and we're talking about a team who just demoted its head coach from play caller and is 1-6.
And now it kind of feels like, not kind of, now it kind of feels like we've gone the other way, which is if you don't get the number one pick or something close to it, a top three pick with a chance to take a quarterback, then this whole season's going to be for naught as well.
Nick, we're home.
Can we get a nicer home? Can I get a remodel? Can we get Chip and Joanna to come in and maybe knock out a couple walls? Open,
you know,
concepts are all the rage.
That remodel's a franchise quarterback.
Same as it ever was. Ken Carmen and the Anthony Lyman take their show Beyond 6 to 10 a.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays with their emerging podcast scene. Don't let this read obfuscate that idea right there. Listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra channel on the free Odyssey app and 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episodes. We've got Ross Tucker coming up at 4. We're going to ask him about this whole thing. We've also got Daryl Ryder at 5:20. Usually joins us at 6, but with the Stefanski news, with the blustering from City Hall here about the new stadium, there, it's just like Art Modell. No, it's not. Stop being disingenuous, and please, if you can, stop being politicians. I digress. Big Shot Bob Robert Ori coming up at 6 o'clock, but 216-474-0092. Curtis, Midge, you stay there. What do you guys make of Ken Dorsey as the new play caller after the Browns' 1-6 start? That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski earlier today in Berea explaining the decision to give Ken Dorsey the play calling on Sundays. Kevin has said that, hey, I'll still be involved. I'll still have some input there, but it's Ken's show now. And what makes it so interesting is for the second time in 4 weeks, as everyone's doubting, how much power does Kevin have? How much does he have? 4 weeks ago, and then about 3 weeks ago, he made the pronouncement, it's my decision. The football stuff is my decision, whether Deshaun plays or not.
I think it was not that far back. I think that this has felt like a lifetime of a season. I think that was like a week and a half ago.
It probably could be 10 days ago. But now today, he doubled down and said, it was my decision. We did this when, you know, Deshaun, when he had his comments on Deshaun. Do you buy that it is Kevin Stefanski's decision for Ken Dorsey to be the new play caller?
I don't, because I do think that Kevin Stefanski's seat is a little bit warm. I don't think it should. If I were in charge of the Browns, Kevin Stefanski would be in no danger of losing his job. But I don't believe that the Browns operate the same way that I would. And
with logic and reason?
Yes, exactly. You know, they're not
what
known
that?
For that.
That's not our process.
Exactly. Those words are not necessarily part of the Haslam dictionary. But I would not. Kevin Stefanski would be in no danger of losing his job if I were in charge. But I do believe right now, because of how catastrophically bad the season has gone, he is on a bit of a hot seat. And I think if you are on a hot seat, and the thing that he has done the best, maybe not this year, but throughout his 10 years as Browns head coach, I believe has been play calling. I think he's been a fantastic play caller. I understand the arguments that some folks have that he's not necessarily fiery enough, or some people want him to coach the whole team and not the offense. And, you know, he does do that, just not in the way that some people want him to. So I get all of that. But for the last 4 years, he's been terrific as a play caller. I don't think all of a sudden he forgot how to do that. I think that there are some other things changing the offensive system, the quarterback play, the offensive line not being as good, that has made that job much more difficult. I don't think he's worse at it. I think that to me says, well, if Kevin Stefanski's on the hot seat and he has the opportunity to prove that he belongs as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, why would you give away the thing that you've done the best for the last 4 years?
I mean, I think the push and pull of play calling versus CEO duties is, I understand that a guy like Kevin probably fancies himself in the line of Shanahan and McVay, and you can do those things when you're winning. Like, I'm not trying to paint play calling as like a frivolity, but when you lead the league in penalties, and they're penalties that aren't even like judgment calls, right? Like, it's not like DPI or OPI. No, it's like, oh my God, these are the dumbest penalties you can have. There is an element of this that can go to, well, maybe they're giving him a chance to clean up those other things by taking something off his plate. I don't know what to believe. I think sometimes people have given Kevin this powerless reputation to go ahead and keep basically let him off the hook.
Sure.
I think that's a real dangerous precedent to act like Kevin Stefanski is Oliver Twist and he just wants some more power.
Right. And I do wonder who is at fault for all of the dumb penalties. Like, now the buck is always going to stop with Kevin Stefanski because he's the head coach and that's who we're always going to look at, right? But if your left tackle and Jed Wills is lining up off the line of scrimmage, which I believe he got flagged for at least once on Sunday, is that Kevin Stefanski's fault? Is that Jed Wills' fault as a professional? Is that the offensive line's coach's fault? Who is to blame for that? Because it's hard for me to imagine that at that level of football, the offensive coordinator or head coach, if he is the play caller as well, has the ability to spend a lot of time in either capacity. Like, I don't think Ken Dorsey is going to have a ton of time saying, Jed, this is how you line up at left tackle. Like, you're in the NFL. You should know that. I'm not saying it's not Kevin Stefanski's fault, but I don't know that it is either.
I think this is, we've almost turned Stefanski into like Paul Di Podesta of like, well, he can't
really.
Yeah,
but we know what Kevin does.
Well, no, do we?
Because, yeah, he's called plays for 4 years. He's talked to the media for 4 years. So much of Paul is, I don't think he lives in Cleveland and we never see him. We don't know what he does.
Well I've seen him.
We see Kevin every day.
I have
Kevin
seen Paul Di Podesta during training camp. After the practice is over, he'll come out and he'll run around the track, around the facility. That's what Paul Di Podesta does, as far as I'm concerned.
Gotta
Maria.
Stay in shape.
That's, hey, cardio is important when you should get into your 50s. I mean, it's always important, but you know, I mean, you don't want to go down from a bum ticker. Right? He's too young. He's a young man. He looks young. But no. But what I mean by that is every time that you try and talk about Kevin the head coach, it becomes about Kevin the OC. And every time you talk about Kevin the OC, it becomes about Kevin the head coach. And there's almost this just trying to nail Jell-O to a wall effect. Because I will say, like, I'm incredibly sympathetic for the situation Kevin is in. And it's so funny because I flat out call things because sometimes I think Kevin, I don't know if it's stubbornness or I hate to use the word ego because he doesn't strike me as an egoist.
No.
But I do think there's some, whether it's the commitment to his offense and, well, no, this is my offense. Well, I'd like a commitment to winning. But to get back to what you said, like, if I'm Kevin and I hear people, I'd rather hear Nick Wilson's fat ass like go in and be like, this dude's not a good leader. What is he doing here? I'd rather hear that because it implies that I am a master of my own destiny versus what I think a lot of Kevin defenders do, which is, well, he has no power. That in and of itself, like, let's think about this, because there is the power vacuum in Berea, which always rolls up to Jimmy. But if you've been in a job for 4 years, and you've either not accrued more power, or you've lost power, which is what some people have suggested. Shouldn't there be a logical reason if it's a bunch of logical people?
Are these logical people?
Yes. I mean, listen, I do think that they are logical in the sense that I don't think they're morons. I do think they are short-sighted. I don't think we have enough football people in that building, and that bugs the hell out of me because every time we draft somebody, it's like, hey, look at this look at this athleticism web or whatever those things are called. Isn't this great? And I'm like, Yeah, okay, you can be a great athlete. If you're not a good football player, it doesn't matter.
Right.
See
right.
Anthony Schwartz.
Yes.
So, like, I'm empathetic to the idea that Kevin might not have Belichickian power. But this idea of him powerless, I would imagine that even with Jimmy being the problem to a lot of degrees here, why is no one asking why Kevin doesn't have that power? Because I think that's what's fascinating. Because that means he must have done something internally to have lost that faith, have lost that power in one way or another.
But how are we going to get that answer? Because I would love to know that answer. Because to me, I'm with you, it seems as if he does not have the same amount of power that he has had previously as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And the thing that I think has changed is the guy who's been playing quarterback. I'm not saying that's what it is, but when I look at a common denominator of when Kevin Stefanski had the most power, for the most part, when Deshaun Watson was not taking snaps. And now that has obviously changed because he's lost power as Deshaun Watson departs the team for the rest of the season. But we're never going to get that answer. And I think that's probably why it's not something we seek out, because there's no logical way to get it.
Yeah, I think it's maybe the most important thing.
Hey, Andrew Berry, how come Kevin Stefanski doesn't have as much power? What's Andrew going to say to that?
Well, no, they never say it publicly. They say it in reports after things have gone, you know what, up.
Like that's, sure, but, like, but we're, but I we're think, not getting that right now. We might get that. We will get that at the end. That is the empty the notebook type of story that comes out afterwards. But when reporters that are covering the team locally or nationally, when things like that are heard, it's coming from a small group of people, right? Mm-hmm. And that is the type of thing that can be, if that is reported, that is the type of thing that can burn a source. And that might be why we don't always hear that type of stuff. That is why when people get fired, so much more comes out afterwards. And that is one of the things that if this regime, if they lose their jobs at the end of the year, that's when you'll learn.
So it's less, why aren't we asking Andrew Berry or the Haslams this question? And it's more, because I think if you say, well, he doesn't have any power, he doesn't have more power, or he's lost power, that is not necessarily, nor should it be, automatically a defense of Kevin. Like, in terms of our own journalistic mindset here. Because if the answer is, oh, poor Kevin, he doesn't have any power, he lost power, you've already betrayed your own narrative that you very clearly think that somehow he's a victim in this. He's not. I'm not saying he wanted Deshaun. I'm like, we can go through all the decisions, but like, Kevin's been the head coach 4 years here. He's had time to accrue these things. And the fact that he isn't, the best case scenario for Kevin is he's not good at politics. Or he's just a really good guy. That's part of this.
I think those two things are kind of the same thing.
But
most really good people, not great at politics.
The worst case scenario is the Browns have shielded Kevin Stefanski. I don't know what's true, but I think if we really want to start talking about Kevin Stefanski's future, I think it begins with, why does this dude have more power? Because if that's your defense, it only opens up more questions for me. 216-474-0092. We have plenty of calls on this, plenty of reaction. We do want to get to you guys again. What do you guys make of Ken Dorsey as the new play caller? That, and is Kevin Stefanski giving up play calling actually a sign of good things for Kevin Stefanski? Quite a tease. 92.3 The Fan. It's beautiful hump day. I forgot hump day.
That's, yeah, you didn't even do it. I haven't been in like a month, basically. And, you know, Wednesdays have been the day that I've been in with you. And I'm like, all right, well, no, I know how Nick's going to start the show. And I'm just sitting here and it never happened.
This is how, you know what? Hump day!
Doesn't hit the same as 246.
But you got to make up for it. You got to let people know to hump.
Maybe try and restart the show at 3. Top of a new hour, see how it works then.
I don't know.
That'll make up for it. But man,
this is what 1-6 does to you.
Like, hey man, we're just searching for competency.
It got so bleak so quickly here. And, you know, you and I were talking in the pre-show, and one of the things that you kind of threw out there is whether Kevin Stefanski giving up play calling is actually a good thing, because maybe it means Kevin knows he's safe. So before I tear that idea down, can you run it by me on why you think that this all might actually be a good thing for Kevin?
So to be clear, that's not my opinion. I don't think he's safe.
But it was a question.
It's a question of, I can see that opinion, because as I said, the thing Kevin Stefanski, in my opinion, has been the best at while he's been the head coach of the Browns has been play calling. I think, you know, you look at that first year with what he got out of Baker Mayfield. I thought it was fantastic. You look at what he's gotten out of guys who, frankly, haven't been great quarterbacks in the NFL while he's been here. I mean, the guy almost won a game with Nick Mullins. Like, that's the type of quarterback we've talked about at times. I think he's done a great job of putting those guys in the position to be successful. And then you take a look at now, Jameis Winston, I think, is a really similar quarterback in terms of skill set to Joe Flacco. I think they do a lot of the good things similarly. I think a lot of their downfalls are the same. If Kevin Stefanski was able to get that out of Joe Flacco last year, I would have the belief that Kevin Stefanski could get a similar thing out of Jameis Winston this year. Mm-hmm. So if Kevin Stefanski's job is on the line, and I'm Kevin Stefanski, I'm saying, well, I know I can get more out of Jameis Winston than I got out of Deshaun Watson. I'm going to use these last 10 games and prove I belong here. This is what I do. I'm good at this. If he has assurances that he's not going anywhere, then I think it's easier for him to give up, because that is the thing that he should be able to have in his back pocket and say, I'm great at this. He can't say it about this year so far, but I think he would be able to say it about Jameis Winston. Now, by giving that to Ken Dorsey, he basically doesn't have a life raft anymore. Mm-hmm. And if your job is on the line, I don't think you give up the life raft.
So it's interesting. There are times where, like,
willingly give it up.
The timing of Kevin's decisions are always interesting to me. Like, you let Joe Woods flounder in that defense, flounder in 2022 to the last possible second, and you fired him at the end of the season instead of in season. That always struck me as it's a very calculated move. I've used the word careerist with Kevin, but I think calculated, careerist, all that kind of stuff. I think there is, you have to be a little calculating to be able to survive in the NFL, especially in whatever that is in Berea. Whatever. Because here's the thing, even if I have doubts about Kevin, I'll be honest with you, this just confirms that, you know, it kind of all rots from the head, and that there are, that, you know, the whole point of moving on from Baker was you need an adult in the room. I guess we need another adult in the room for Jimmy Haslam. I don't know what that looks like, but I'm pretty tired, and this is tedious, and this is dumb. So, in a way, that is maybe a defense of Kevin. I also think that Kevin's a smart dude, and maybe he says, I got 10 weeks to not let this thing blow up. And the offense ain't getting fixed. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. I've hired the wrong offensive line coach. I don't have the connective pieces communication-wise, when that's what AVP and Callahan did, right? I'm not trying to make so much out of what they did, but their strengths were communicating and disseminating Kevin's message to the locker room. He doesn't have that now, and it's obvious that whether it's when DTR found out he was going to play, the locker room, some of the messaging issues they've had, that's all because Kevin really needs help in that area and doesn't have it right now. Part of me wonders, is this Kevin going, you know what, I'm already going to have to fire Ken Dorsey, I'm already going to have to fire Andy Dickerson, I'm going to give him 10 games to showcase what they can do, and more importantly, I'm going to distance myself from a no-win situation on offense. 10 games from now, if I'm not the play caller and the offense doesn't get better, I can say, well, it's just a lost cause. We got to go ahead and reorganize these deck chairs. There's a part of me that thinks maybe this is a really, if it is Kevin's decision, a really smart get out ahead of it and see if you can dodge the axe as it falls near you.
I mean, maybe, but I don't trust the Browns for that to be a possibility. Like, I would love if that were the thing, because I don't
think... You could have just stopped it. I don't trust the Browns.
Well, I don't. But I don't think Ken Dorsey has been a great offensive coordinator play caller in his career. Like, I don't believe it's a coincidence that Buffalo really took off last year as soon as he was out of the building. I don't think that's a coincidence. You know, if you look at what Dickerson's done with the offensive line, no one, it was not fair to ever expect him to come in and be Bill Callahan. The guy's the best offensive line coach in football. But the drop-off there, I don't think anyone expected to be as massive as it is. If Kevin Stefanski stays, there needs to be another overhaul with a lot of position coaches. You're going to need a new quarterback's offensive coordinator type role. Ken Dorsey can't come back. You're going to need a new offensive line coach. I mean, running backs and tight ends coaches, I don't necessarily know that that matters. Maybe it's time for new wide receivers coach, but those are all things that you're going to have to do if this staff does return. So maybe this is Kevin being a nice guy and saying, Ken, let's be real. You're not going to be back here next year. Go earn yourself another job for 10 weeks.
216-474-0092. Is Kevin Stefanski safe? Thomas and Shaker, what's up, buddy? What you got for us?
Real quick, first of all, I want to say Kevin Stefanski, is he safe? There's a reason why Vrabel is in the building. I like the fact that he's taking a step back to be kind of CEO of the team. I think that'd be a great position to forum so he could focus more on keeping the team organized. My favorite thing about Kevin Stefanski is his organization, his ability to keep the team, keep the standard of the team. And he's done a great job of doing that, better than any coach in my entire lifetime at the Brown. So I think that him being a CEO is actually a great thing for team. I should have gave a play calling a long time ago. But real quick, Nick Wilson, let me throw some stats at you real quick.
Love
2,500 yards, 24 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 92 QBR. Cam Ward, baby.
I was wondering which college quarterback it was. Thomas, real quick, can you give me the Detroit?
What do you say?
Can you give me the Detroit?
Oh, Detroit sucks. That's why we're going to – Detroit sucks. They can have Jamie Bickerstaff and all the, and Screwball on the mother Detroit bums.
Detroit. Be good, okay. Buddy. All right, Thomas and Shaker there.
All the other Detroit bums.
Man, I got to tell you, I told you this in the pre-show. I really was looking at some of those quarterbacks. Really, really looking. I just don't know. I'm not saying it's a no. I'm like, that is the best case scenario that you get the number one pick and you find that quarterback and you fall in love with him and you get it right. I just don't know who you're going to fall in love with. We got plenty to get to, guys, as we start the show here. As you guys know, the Buckeyes back from the bye, ready for the stretch run. Myself and Spencer German break down everything around Ryan Day and the Buckeyes on the Sons of the Shoe podcast. Subscribe now on the free Odyssey app at 923thefan.com or wherever you get your podcast to make sure you have fresh episodes each week. Is Kevin Stefanski safe? And when we start talking about rats jumping off a sinking ship, more evidence on that and more from you guys next on 923 The Fan.